The following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
What I want to talk about tonight, and this is probably going to be part one, eliminating the spiritual roots of sickness and disease. Again, I want to talk about eliminating the spiritual roots of sickness and disease. And here's the bottom line. When someone is sick and you pray for them, it's not, I believe every time someone is sick or diseased or has some kind of ailment, thanks sir, there may be spiritual roots behind that sickness. Do you know what I mean? It's not always. Now, it may be they're sick for no other reason than they were in the wrong place at the wrong time and were susceptible.
Yeah.
But it also may be they're sick because there's something latent within them that was woken up. It may be spiritual. It may be emotional. There are many facets. It may be a demon. And in the last couple of weeks, we saw Jesus. When Jesus approached a sick person, he had no formula. I mean, if you honestly look at the Gospels, when he came to someone who was sick or diseased, he did not have a formula. He didn't always just say, by his stripes I'm healed, or this name and claim, stand on the word. He didn't do all that. Every time he moved in the power of the Holy Ghost, based upon the need in front of him. And he did all kinds of wild and crazy things. He would put mud in a guy's eyes. One guy said he forgave his sins and he was healed. Jesus, he did all kinds of things. The examples in the scripture in the book of Acts, in the Gospels, is Jesus flowed by the power of the Holy Ghost. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all the oppressed of the devil. He moved by the power of the Holy Ghost. He moved by the Spirit, you know? And one person, there are examples. One person, he would pray there for a guy that was could not speak and could not hear. And he prayed and the guy was healed. And then, not too many verses later, he would pray for another person and there was a demon. And he would cast the demon out and the guy was healed. Now, one instance, I believe there wasn't a demon. In the other instance, there was. And so to know how to heal the sick, you have to know how to deal with demons. Hear what I mean? And unfortunately, most people that are into healing, the healing ministry, they rarely don't know what to do with demons. They don't believe Christians can have demons. Unfortunately. But a lot of times, the sickness may be demonically inspired. There may be demonic roots. There may be curses, generational curses. Maybe the reason they're sick is because there was some latent generational curse in the family line. And they've skipped a generation, and all of a sudden it's beginning to be manifest for whatever reason. Maybe there's sin. Maybe there's bitterness. Maybe there was simply something came from without, transferred to them from somebody else. In other words, here's the bottom line. There's no set formula in praying for the sick. You got to go to the Lord every instance and say, hello, I need wisdom here. I need the Holy Ghost. I need a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. I need quickening what you're saying in this context now, not just to lay hands on people and quote Bible verses. Which is a classic way to do it. And then go and stand on the word. Just claim your healing. And that it can be such an apostasy and a bondage. I've seen people get hardened and bitter and judgmental against the Lord and God's people because of that kind of counsel. Or that what's really a travesty, you say, well, the reason you heal, you don't have enough faith. Well, what a travesty. Christ healed people all the time didn't have any faith. How much faith did Lazarus have? There's all kind of examples of healing with no faith. You know, it's not the issue is not faith. If you have faith, the size of a grain of mustard, the issue is love. Faith works by love. Jesus is motivated by compassion. He's moved with compassion. That's what loses healing is compassion and love. Amen. I found if you go, you may not have faith to move a piece of straw. But do you know if you go love on somebody? You spend time with them, you sit down with them, you lay on your hands on them, you pray for them, you just spend time with them. Do you know the Holy Ghost will come on you and the healing will come? Can I, amen? Love is spending, but most people, they don't want to mess with that. They want the touch and go ministry, you know, just blow on them. There, you're healed. That's your problem. Too bad. Too much sin. Come on, give me a break. Jesus would spend time with people. And he's called us to lay our life down, spend time with people. not cheap prayers, but prayers that cost us something. That's the ones the Holy Ghost shows up. Amen. So what I want to talk about tonight, if you look at Proverbs 3:1, we're basically just going to look at a couple of verses right here in Proverbs 3. That's all we're really going to look at. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1, some principles eliminating the spiritual roots of sickness and disease. It starts out, "My son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments." Now, I want to make something real clear for to start out. We're going to kind of parse a couple of these verses. Hear me out. Solomon says, "My son, don't forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments." Now, this is going to sound real radical, and do not throw the tape out or turn it off until you hear me out. I want to make one thing clear. We're still under the law. We've not been eliminated. Jesus said, "I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it." In fact, he said, "Heaven and earth will pass away." Not heaven and earth will pass away. Not one jot or tittle will be not fulfilled in this law. Jesus didn't come to destroy the law. We have to keep the law. Jesus did not remove our responsibility to keep the law. But what he did two things. He removed the curse and he simplified it. I want to say that again. He didn't remove our responsibility to keep the law. But he removed the curse. Galatians 3 says he was made a curse for us. He delivered us from the curse of the law, which was, "Cursed be the man that does not keep all, every single ordinance of the law." Listen to Deuteronomy 28. He removed that curse. And then he simplified the law. He said, "You still have to keep it." He just made it real easy. Look at Romans 13:8. This is what he did. This is how he did it. Romans 13:8 says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loves another has what? Has what? Fulfilled the law. For this, you should not commit adultery, you should not kill, you should not steal, you should not bear false witness, you should not covet." Some of the Ten Commandments. "If there be any other commandment, it's briefly comprehended by the saying, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." See, we're still commanded to keep the law. He just summed it up in one. He said, if you love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and love your neighbor, we're commanded to keep. Command them. Now, turn back to Proverbs 3. That's where he says, "My son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments." In fact, while you're there, turn back. I want you to turn to John 14:21. Jesus literally quoted that. John 14:21. Turn there. The Gospel of John. It says, "He that has my commandments and keeps them." Does that sound like Proverbs 3:1? "He it is that loves me, he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Verse 23. Jesus answered and said, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. We will come unto him and make our abode with him." Now I want to tell you something. You just read one of the most amazing verses in the whole Bible. Without a doubt. I don't know that there's any verse in the Bible that comes near the awesome depth of what we just read. Jesus said, "If you will keep my commandments, I will manifest myself to you." He says, "And I and my Father will come and make our abode within you." Now, what does that mean? God, the Father, the creator of the universe, the one who spun the galaxies with his fingers, the one who sits outside the universe and looks into it, and the everlasting, eternal Emmanuel, the Son of God, the existent Word of God, who was and is to come, who existed before time, through whom all creation came. The Bible says all things were made by him and for him, and without him nothing was made that was made. And by him all things consist. Every single atom of the universe is held together by the glue of Jesus. And he says, "I and my Father are going to come inside of you and commune and abide in you." Now, it would take this life here according to Psalm 39, he says, is as a handbreadth. He says, my life is as a handbreadth. You know what a handbreadth is? A width of your hand this way. Or James says, our life is what? It is a vapor. This life is no way you can even scratch the surface of what that means. We can't even fathom what that means. That God the Father and God the Son commune inside of me. Can I know? I've known Jesus. This is my 31st year of knowing Jesus. And I love Jesus, and I've walked with Him every day for 31 years. And I don't have a clue what that means. Not a clue! I mean, maybe a little tiny... No, not even that. I mean, if I'm honest, I don't have a clue what it means that God lives in me. Do you? No. But you know the glory is? When you keep His commandments, the Lord delights to dwell inside of us and make His abode within us. Now, I do know this. I know He's in me one way because I can sense when He's grieved. Hello? I mean, I can be riding along or doing something and everything, I'm joy, I'm just at peace, and then I'll do something with a thought or a look, and somebody gets this, now, come on, don't look at me like that. You look at me like, oh, come on, give me a break. That's the Holy Ghost in me. He gets grieved. Hello? There's something in it that's looking at me, through me, saying, keep your eyes right on. Keep your heart right on. Keep your mind right on. Can I not? And when you go to the left or the right, He grieves. You ever ride down the highway and you start drifting, they have those little bump things, it's to wake you up, you know? What? Well, I'm not a drunk, and I've hit those things sometimes. That's like the Holy Ghost inside of you. Proverbs 3, verse 2. Oh, Labashutu Roma Katerima. You know, the only way to describe the glory of that is this way. Shanto Roma Kitarama Satana. That's it. That in the ages to come, God would show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:7. Proverbs 3:2. You know, it's going to take, he says, the ages to come. It's going to take millennia. It's going to take eternity. Do you know how long eternity is? Let me give you an example of how long eternity is. I heard this recently. This doesn't really tie into my notes, but it's totally cool. You know how long eternity is? Imagine, if you would, a granite mountain. A granite mountain. Okay? Several thousand feet high. Massive granite mountain. And once a millennium, once every thousand years, a little bird flies to the granite mountain and scrapes its beak on the rock. When that mountain is worn down to the ground, it'll still be the morning. Amen? That's eternity. And this life's like that. And we're determining where we'll be all that time. That's a long time. Because I don't think there's any time. In fact, along that line, Proverbs 3:2, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. You know, when you keep God's commandments to love your neighbors yourself, which means to go and visit the sick, and then visit the homeless, go the extra mile, forgive, release, have mercy. Look at the blessing of this. God has a set number of days for you. The length of days and long life and peace. Solomon says it's foolish to die before your time. Did you know God has exactly the right number? He knows. In fact, in Psalm 90 says, redeem my years, O Lord. In fact, he says that in Ephesians 5, redeeming the time for the days of evil. Let me know what my end is. Psalm 39. You know, God wants you to live out every single day of your life. He wants you to live all the way to the final day. God already has ordained your last day. He already knows it. He wants us to live all and fulfill it up to the very last day, so we'll receive a full reward. Now, Luke, 2 John 8 says, look to yourselves that we lose not the things we want, that we receive a full reward. Unfortunately, 1 Corinthians 3 talks about some are going to suffer loss on Judgment Day because they squandered days. That's what it says, redeeming the time. Be circumspect with your time, only each day. There is going to be something called eternal loss. Now, there is redemption. Praise God. But loss is loss. I want you to hear this. You may have squandered a bunch of days, and you repent. God can redeem. God can redeem, and God can still do what He wants to do in the days remaining. But do you understand? You can't recover what's gone. God can redeem it. But what's lost is lost. That ought to put the fear of the Lord in us. Good night, man. Long life and peace shall they add to you. Verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Now, you know, all this ties into healing. I'm going to show you in a minute. Stay with me. I'm talking about the spiritual roots of sickness and disease. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. I want you to see this. Bind them about your neck. Write them upon the table of your heart. Now, there's something really powerful here. I believe Psalm 85 says, mercy and truth have kissed, met each other. Mercy and truth have met each other, right? Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Psalm 85. But what is it about mercy and truth? There's something unique, and the secret is in Proverbs 16:6. If you'll turn there, that's the secret. The reason he says, don't let it forsake you, mercy and truth. Bind it about your neck. Solomon's saying mercy and truth is something you really want to bind around your neck like a scarf. Proverbs 16:6 says the secret. It's the key, listen, to freedom from sin. I want to show you this. Mercy and truth is the key to freedom from sin, because Proverbs 16:6 says, by mercy and truth, what? Iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart. Now let me explain how this works. Years ago, I would wrestle with this and say, Lord, what is the revelation? What is about mercy and truth not together? Mercy and truth binding together. Why is it? It is the key to be overcoming sin. The Lord began to show me. Felt the Lord would speak to me, so well, look at your own life, how it works. How many of y'all have ever done anything wrong, deliberately and willfully wrong? You knew it was wrong. You did it anyway, defiantly, rebelliously. And then after you did it, you expected God to zap you. Come on. You just knew it. It wasn't just some thought. It was a deliberate, malicious. It may not have been some major evil thing. But it was, he that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin, it says in James. And you knew it was sin, and you did it anyway, and you went, you kind of cowered. So like our puppies do when we discover a little deposit in the garage, and Sherry goes out with the newspaper, they tend to cower. Come on, how many of y'all sense you want to? All right? But you know what you get instead? A lot of times? Mercy. Have you all experienced it? You expect is that? And lo and behold, everything just kind of gets a whole lot better. You go, wait a minute, what's the deal? He loves me. Why is he not zapping me? Why is he not mad at me? Or have you ever heard Romans 2:4 says, it's the goodness of God, what? He's his true friends. See, the Lord would prefer to use honey, if he can, amen? He would prefer to love us. Love covers a multitude of sin. He would prefer when we blow it to love us even more so that our heart will melt. So that we'll want to follow him because he's good. See, what mercy does, it opens your heart to revelation. To the deception of the trap of the open door that got you in sin in the first place. That's what mercy does. Now, the problem is, so many of those so unfamiliar. I mean, they grow up under a family, and maybe a father or mother who corrected them with zap. You know, there was conditional love. That when you blew it, you got it. You know, the correction came with rejection. Whenever you blew it, there were consequences. So you grow up transferring that to God. But God's not that way at all. God has unconditional love. Now, you can go a little bit far in this thing. You can go, whoa, I think I got it down. Let us sin that grace may abound. No, Paul says, whoa, no, back up. God's not mocked. Whatever you do, so you're going to reap. Whoa, don't go turning the grace of God into license. But it's a risk of God. It's a risk because he's trying to win our heart. And if you're born again, truly born again, you don't want to sin. That's how you know a born-again person. All the rest is fluff. The only way you really know a born-again person, you know how? Since there's a seed in him. You know what it is? You don't want to sin. And when you do sin, you're grieved. That's how you know they're born again. It's that simple. All the rest is religious fluff. Do they want to sin or not? If they're really born again, they don't want to sin. In their honest heart, word to Jesus is, Jesus, whatever it takes, help me not to sin. Is that your prayer? Hello? Did you know that's your only hope? By the way, I'm going to tell you this. Did you know your only hope in life is to ask Jesus to help you not to sin? How many of y'all have tried to not sin on your own strength? How many of y'all have been tried to be real good and just not do bad things and be nice and good and real nice and kind and all the time, totally, utterly loving at all times? Do you do it? No. But you know what works? Jesus, help me not sin. Help me change my heart. That works. Amen? It's him. And then God gets down here in this three-dimensional world we live in, and he does things. It's because you've given him your heart. You said, I nearly need you, Lord. I have a phrase I use with the Lord. I say, Lord, disparage my way. I said this to him for years. Disparage my way. I don't even know if that word is legitimate or not, but I use it with God. He knows what I mean. It means, Lord, don't let me go my forward way. Get in front of me and just, you know, make things complicated and dysfunctional so I cannot go the way I want to go. Help me, Lord. Intervene. Get in front of me and stop me. Do you know that's a good prayer? Hello? Disparage my way. You can use it. So, mercy comes. Now listen, here's where truth comes in. And mercy opens your heart and God begins to show you. Well, here's the trap. Here's how the demon tricked you. And you get more light. What is light? It's truth. And therefore, you're less susceptible to fall the next time. Do you see how it works? Mercy and truth. Bind them about your heart. It's the key. Look at verse 4. Proverbs 3:4. He says, so shall you find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. Did you know what happens on your inside always manifests on the outside? You can't hide what's on the inside to those with discernment. How many of y'all think you got the wool pulled over people's eyes? Because you're not going to say that right now. Because you think you can. Yeah, I mean, but you know, you can't hide what you are. You know, all you can really give to somebody is what you are. I learned that in Christian community years ago. I feel, you know, so many Christians don't understand the power of Christian community. Community is not a very popular notion in the United States. Christianity is nothing more than going to meetings in a lot of times. Going to concerts. You know, Christianity really is, you know, really, really is relationships. It's relationships. Not superficial. Down and dirty. Y'all remember the verse, iron sharpens iron? But you got to get the two irons together so they're sharpened. Amen? You ever hear about a rock tumbler? You ain't tickled with street gravel. Street gravel. You know, if you put street gravel, I used to have a rock tumbler when I was a kid. You put in this little tumble thing, you put gritty water in it with grit. It just tumbles and tumbles. Do you know it turns street gravel beautiful? How many street gravel we got there? Y'all street gravel? Well, you know, you're sitting out here outside the little tumble, you ain't going, you're just going to stay street gravel. No, you got to go in there with the grit and the tumbling around, and you're knocking on this rock and this rock, and oh, this rock hit me, and this rock hit me, and I hate these rocks. They're just knocking me around. You're rocking and you're rolling in there, you know? But all the while, God's doing a little tumbler thing. And one day, he'll pull it out. Whoa! What do we hear? The hidden beauty of the rock. Get our none. But you gotta be in a context where you knock and rock and get socked and get blocked. Then get knocked. Off your block. And that takes Christian community. You need to be involved with people's lives. You need to let people be involved with your life. You need to structure your life where people are inputting on a daily basis. Christianity is not meant to be Wednesdays and Fridays. In fact, I'll prove to you that this is not in the notes, but I want you to show you. Did you know Paul, the writer of the Hebrews, preached community? Because listen, he said this. And how could this happen other than Christian community? Listen. He says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another on Wednesdays and Sunday mornings. You know what it says? Exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. That's community. How are you going to get out of a Christianity where you every day you're in a context of being exhorted, encouraged? I believe in Christian community. I model it. That's why I have a house. I prayed back in the late 80s, Lord, give me a big house. He gave me a big house. I said, now fill it up. Here's the house. Here's the steeple. And fill it up with all the people. At one point I had, oh, however you do that thing. At one point I had 9 single guys living with me. Then I got married, and Sherry said, well, let's just kind of put that to the side for a few years. And then we went back, and now we have 5 single guys living with us in the house. And it's good. It's just wonderful. In the morning they come, it's like a musical, you know. Here it is, another day, past the salt. No, I'm lying. We used to call it the agony and the ecstasy. You know, it keeps you real, man. Amen? That's free. That wasn't in the notes. But you know that's part of healing? All of this is going to tie into healing. Wait, I'll show you. That's part of it. You start opening your life up, becoming accountable and vulnerable, let people speak into stuff. You're hiding in. Got all your masks. People have all these masks, you know. They have their Sunday morning mask. Hi there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Then they have their Monday morning mask at work. You know? Then you go to your mother's. You have your I'm at mom's house mask. Hi, mother. You know, whatever. These masks. These fronts. These facades. People got to, you know, and you, have you ever noticed you just kind of go from mask to mask? You're this person, you're this way. And there's some people, they don't know who they are, so they're kind of mirroring. You know, you kind of act like this one because maybe that one will like me because I'm like this. And, oh, I need to be like that. And, oh, man, what a sicko way to live. Here's a guy right here. Let's interview this man. He's a new convert to community. Are you still alive? They had a family move in with him. They all met with me. They said, what do you think? I said, yes. It's not going to be easy, but it'll be real. and you'll grow. Are you growing?
Nod your head, yeah, okay.
He's growing. I knew he was. You're either growing or going. I lived in a community one time, back in the 70s, serious community, 23 people, all live in a house. I'm serious community, man. One night, we heard this scream. And then the slam door. The car ran off. Never saw her again. I've been there about 3 weeks, so I went, oh, what am I going to do? Well, she just, that wasn't her cup of tea. Bless her. Freaking out. Something came up, didn't want to deal with it. Hello? That's okay. Now, wherever that woman went, Jesus went with her. Can you hear that? You can run, but you cannot run. And I think that's happened here once or twice. That's why we have these multitudes. I can't even see to the end of the crowds. Ushers, will you bring in those thousands back there and you move them over here? People just love this kind of preaching. They just come from all over the city. I'm sorry, it's the only thing I know to preach. So verse 5. 3-5. This is all us doing healing. Trust me here. We're going there. I'm going to show you. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean on it under your own understanding. And we all know that verse. You learned that when you first saved. Amen? It's a good verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know what it basically means? It means live from the Spirit, not from your mind. That's what it means. Don't lean on your understanding. Don't lean on your thinker. Don't live from your mind. And you want to know how you can do that? It starts with this. A healthy distrust of yourself, your thoughts, and your propensities to evil. That's how you have to start, with a healthy distrust of self. A healthy awareness that in my own devices, I'm capable of anything but for the grace of God. Hello? A healthy reality of who you really are, apart from Jesus. And could very well be, if you so chose. And when you really get a hold of that, it'll put the fear of God in you. C.S. Lewis said, the greatest saints are one step from being the greatest devils. I mean, Lucifer was once a mighty archangel. It's when you understand your propensities that you run to Jesus and you don't let go. And you wake up in the morning and the first thought you have is, oh, Jesus. And then after that you say, Jesus. And then you say, Jesus. And then you just go on from there. That's it. And you don't trust yourself. He that trusts his own heart is a fool. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And don't lean. Our mind is a cobweb, spider-filled dungeon. Can you hear that? Don't trust your mind. It can be used when it's subordinate to the Holy Ghost, to the Spirit. A left of its own devices, it is wickedness out of the mind, out of the heart of man, Christ said, proceeds all manner of evil things, he said. It comes out. That's why we've got to get in the Spirit. Abide in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. And you say, how do I pray against the Spirit? Well, you start with a true... aware of your true potentials, you're free of the things of the Spirit. You know they are speaking tongues, singing tongues, speaking tongues. If you don't speak in tongues, get somebody to lay hands on you. Had a lady call me the other day. We're talking about it, and I said, she said, well, I'm not sure about that. So Proverbs 1 Corinthians 14:4 said, I would that you all spoke with tongues. Mark 16, these signs will follow. I said, why would you want what he died to give you? I don't understand dispensationalism. I don't understand the mindset. I mean, if Jesus died for it, I want it. I mean, we're battling principalities and powers and rule and dominion spirits and high and heavenly places. Ah! I want everything I can get. Hello? I just look at the Bible like a child. If it's in there, I believe it. Let's do it. Raise the dead? Cool. Hey, dead people? Tongues? Demons? Come out, come on. The more you abide in the Spirit, the more you see the utter folly of the soul. He that is spiritual understands the things of the Spirit, but the soulish man understands them not, they're foolish unto him, for he cannot discern them. 1 Corinthians 2. You live in the Spirit, therefore walk in the Spirit. And the soulish is where the demonic realm lives. Demons live in the soul and manifest through the soul when you yield to the flesh. They live in the flesh, manifest through the flesh. When you yield to the flesh, walk in the Spirit. You will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Well, how do I walk in the Spirit? Don't trust your own heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. And just get in the Spirit. Speak in tongues. Sing in tongues. Get close to Jesus. Get quiet. Quiet times are good. Get still. Be still. I read this the other day. Some Swami said, be still and know you are God. Hey. Yuck. Be still and know he is God. Amen. Be still. Learn to find stillness, quietness. There's no greater thing than finding the stillness. He wants to lead us by the still waters. How does he speak? Got to get still. Be still. No greater way to be still than to pray in tongues for a while, sing in tongues. The anointing falls, and you can be still. Well, on Monday nights, we have intercession here. It's an awesome time. I mean, there's a revelation experience. I'm experiencing it at the time. But this past Monday, we had 30 of us. We were in here. I don't know how many people are in here. Maybe 15, 20. We were all praying in tongues, and I was walking up down here. I always walk up down here praying in tongues because I know Friday night I'll be walking up down the same place. And I figure, well, I'm doing it here free, releasing the Spirit. So when I do it in front of people, you know, and it works. Because they get free like that. And we were praying in the Spirit and doing battle and warring. And you know what's so cool? After 30 minutes, we all get still. And it's so thick in here you could cut it with a knife. I mean, it's real. I mean, I don't know where I go, but I'm gone. You know what I'm talking about? Well, it's somewhere. 10 minutes later, I kind of go, whew, yeah. Where was that? I don't know, but I want to stay there, Lord. Amen? That's the Spirit. And there'd be no better way than to get a couple people together and do it. When we're together, I experience a greater anointing when we're together than when I can do that all day long alone. I don't ever feel like I'm doing it together. We're two or more gathered together, thereby. I mean, there's something when we're together, the power comes in a way that's whoa beyond any. The whole is greater than the sum of the parts. Okay, verse 6. This is about healing. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now listen, I want to show you a revelation here. In all thy ways acknowledge who? Who? You know, a lot of people acknowledge the devil. That's the devil. The devil did that. It's the devil. I submit the devil can't do nothing but gets its signed triplicate from God. God's sovereign. You know what I mean? And the devil walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But if you look in the book of Job, he said he was walking to and fro. God said, what you doing down there? And he could not touch Job until God allowed him. Because there was something in Job, nothing else worked. Job was not seeing what God wanted him to see. So God said, well, I'm going to have to call out the dogs. Ain't no other way else he's going to see it. You know, God would prefer we see it with a still small voice. You know, some of us, God is speaking to you in a still small voice. He's been talking to you about something in your character for a long time. He's been whispering to you, and he's been whispering to other people. And he's trying to show you you're not listening. You're not listening. You're hardened. You're just full of yourself. You're full of pride, full of deception, whatever. And God said, and he's trying. He's finally, the Lord says, look. He looks at his watch. I only got 7,622 more days, or maybe 700, I don't know. He says, you know, they're not listening. And so God says, okay, okay, okay.
out at him. You all believe that? God's sovereign.
You see, somebody once said, he always says in Isaiah 54, I created the waster to destroy.
I created the waster to destroy.
God's going to, he turns everything around for the good. And Satan thinks he's going there and having time. He doesn't understand. In the end, Job came out far further ahead. In fact, Job finally saw what the problem was. It was a Leviathan demon. He had a demon called Leviathan inside of him. Snake thing. Read Job 41.
Finally got delivered of the spirit of pride. Finally got delivered of Leviathan. Finally got delivered of the strong man.
Then God said, woohoo, all right. Now he prayed for his friends. Healing flowed. And he just spent the rest of his life. And God's, the story of Job is what God's trying to do with all of us, trying to get us to finally see. And some of us are like Job, we're just hard-headed. A lot of us are like Job's friends. We don't help him. We just go and pound him with guilt. And, right? So God has to send somebody along, and finally God himself showed up signs and wonders and rebuked him and exposed the demon, and finally he got free. You know what? If you acknowledge the devil, it's hard to give thanks in everything. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks. This is what I call the Thanksgiving principle. When you lock it in, you'll be locked in his guiding will. People say, what's the will of the Lord for me? I don't know God's will. God's will. What is God's will for me? I say, well, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 tells you what his will is. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I mean, hello. There it is. Well, no, I don't mean that. I meant like this and that and going here and marrying so-and-so and moving here. No, no. You start with his way, man. You give thanks in everything, and you'll be locked in, and he'll make everything else clear. But when you whine and complain and squirming and wiggling and you're trying to... you'll follow some will. It ain't going to be God's will. He'll let you run your own way. Recently, somebody that I care for, a friend, a number of us really helped and loved and ministered to, determined to follow their own will. Absolutely decided to follow their own will. And we're releasing to do it. And the other day I was praying for him, and I said, Jesus, as soon as I've walked with the Lord a long, long time, I said, Jesus, you get him. Now be gentle, but you get him. And I got this sense of, oh yeah, he will. Amen? He'll get that person, because that person loves Jesus. And he'll get him. And maybe down the road, whatever, as long as it's before that cutoff date. Amen? Some men's sins go before the judgment. Other men, just Lord, please, before the cutoff, get them! Snap them! So they'll come into the light and have less baggage into eternity. They're out of my hole. They're not under my jurisdiction anymore. It's like God says to some people, you do the best you can, then they move on. It's all right. We're not in this for ourselves. We're in it serving the King. Come on. Okay, verse 7. Two more verses. This and one more, we're done. This is not healing, by the way. It is, I promise you. Verse 7. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. I want to say something. This is a closing concept of healing here. Pride is an insidious, subtle, and often hidden thing. It's the very character of the devil. God resists the proud. Tell you about it. You know what they call a group of lions? Isn't that wild? Isn't that wild? A group of lions is called a pride of lion. Now, who thought that out? Maybe so. But let me tell you something about lions. It's interesting. Did you know that lions' food runs faster than it? Lions like gazelles. Lions like antelopes. They may like antelopes. I don't know, but I know they like antelopes. No, I'm not gonna. But lions' food runs faster than it. So what does a lion do? He's hungry. He hadn't eaten all day. So he stretches and he goes after the food. Food takes off. And he's pursuing it. It's like some of y'all are, you know, after a fast. Pursuing the food. You know? And he can't catch it. So what does the lion do? You know what he does? He gets the prey that's slow to flee and unaware. Like there'll be a, would it be a flock of gazelles? A bunch of gazelles. A herd. I knew that. Deer. What's a flock of deer? No, a herd of deer. Oh. Okay. And so there's this one deer, and he's lookout deer. Deer over there. Some little old deer. Yeah, and this deer just kind of just didn't like all them other deer. Somebody hurt that poor deer's feelings that day. He's just kind of wandering off, nibbling. Just didn't quite hear the warning. So the other deer's take off. And this little deer is not, and you know that's the one the lion goes for. Unaware, listen carefully, unaware, dull, and slow to flee. Same thing is true. Satan walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he picks on the weak, on the simple. I read that scripture the other day in Romans about, you know, mark those that cause offenses, for with smooth words they deceive the hearts of the simple. You know what grieves me? When I see a simple, Jesus-loving person, maybe a woman, a man, of a simple heart, maybe not an Einstein intellect, but a simple heart for Jesus, sucked into the cults of the Word Faith Movement. It grieves me. They love Jesus and they're blinded to spiritual reality and caught up in greed and covetousness and this plastic superficiality spirituality. And here they are taking antidepressant drugs, running from conference to TV personality or another, and there's no doubt. And they're full of demons. And they're simple and they're seduced by these who make merchandise. And I see it all the time. Grandmas, sweet people, sitting at home, turning on Christian TV, not understanding the smorgasbord of a heresy that's coming at them. And they just wonder why God's not coming through. They sent all their money to rot, parsley, or Benny, they sent their money. Why is it I? Why am I not getting 3,400 for? What's the deal? And they get bitter. And these charlatan, greedy Duplantis pulling out his money. I'll tell you, their charlatanism, it's wickedness. And it's with a facade of righteousness, and it's sickening in the house of the Lord. And I see and have seen the victims of this thing. It's wicked. I go out of town once a month to Brenham. And they have a demon box in my room. And every time I go, I spend time watching TBN. I do it deliberately. I don't like to do it, but I want to see what's coming down to the average believer I minister to. I was out of town this week. I spent about an hour watching that thing. It was all I could stomach. Once in a while, there's something good, like anything. But I began to flip through it, and I thought, oh, Lord, I just wanted to throw something at it. I want to know what's going on out there. I get the fire in me. That's all I can take, an hour a month. I said, okay, thank you, Jesus. I don't have to live under that garbage. But how many do? I just had a lady come to the other day. And she, I don't know how they get this number, you know. for a good time. Who are you going to call?
His demons.
And she says, well, and I said, do you watch Christian TV?
Oh, yeah.
Lord. And sure enough, she had all the party line. But you know what? It wasn't working. That's why she was called. It wasn't working. None of it was. She was demonized and tormented with poltergeist and went to her word faith preacher and they just said, you're the problem. And there was a cult paraphernalia in a house that her mother had put in there. There was a cult paraphernalia. There was a cult things. Witchcraft things in the house. Nobody could tell a woman you need to cleanse your house. Get these devil things out. That's why the demons are in there. But they're not going to say that because that'll lose the crowds. The demons get mad. I'm going to write a letter to Paul Crouch and ask him if I could do a show. It'll be a one shot. I want it prime time, so that's how I'm going to be on. And it's not going to be again. You know what it's going to be on? I would like to have a show on this one topic. Exercising your house. I did that at our deliverance conference up in Hot Springs. My teaching was exercising, what, places in inanimate objects. That was an interesting sermon. I'd love to do that. Man, the anointing came. And you know what the biggest demonized inanimate object is in most houses? It's the TV! It is. And they put it, they have the front room, it's the big room, and they put it in a prominent place by itself. And they'll put little personal idols, pictures of mom and dad on the top of this thing. And on Saturday morning, the kids are prostrate before it. And the family gathers round the God, the one-eyed beast. Come to me. I make fun. It is full of the devil. It's sewage pumping into your house. Come on. Like I said, that's probably the only time I'll be on there. Because I'm on TV preaching it. Absolutely. What are you going to listen to me? Turn that thing off. Who do we think we are? Lesbianism is rampant in the schools. Had a young lady call a couple of weeks ago saying her daughter was into lesbianism. I remember this 10 years ago. I understand MTV is full of this stuff. Thanks to Bill Clinton, who really legitimized that perversity of homosexuality. Well, we have been like the old frog. You know, the frog in the kettle, the way you boil it is 1 degree at a time. We don't have a clue how bad it is in our culture. You know what? You know what W said today? Lord knows. You know what W said today? That's what he needed to say. But scary. You know what he said? It's on the headlines. Nuke response will be given. A biological or chemical attack. Now that's exactly what they need to hear. And I'm glad we got a cowboy for president. That says, you mess and put some nuke, some dirty, we're going to nuke you. Now I'm sorry, if the opposition had won, I cannot imagine him saying that. But you know what? This stuff's real. Do you know when we invade Iraq? Now you're listening to this tape. You probably already know about all this, but we're before the war. Unless Saddam leaves. You know, if we invade Iraq, this is the big fear. I want to warn you that the last time he shot Scud missiles to Israel. And they were dummy warheads, and Israel didn't do nothing. Well, this time, Saddam's back's against the wall. And what they're afraid of is he may send some Scud missiles with biological and chemical agents. And they said, if I read an article that says, if 5 Israelites die, or 50 or even 500, but if 20,000, that's it. Israel has nukes. And Israel said, oh yeah? And do you know if that happens? We're talking revelations. Somewhere there. And now this is not that far off. Can I imagine? Now, I don't know what's going to happen. I suspect that won't happen. I really do. But it might. It's enough to put fear of the Lord in you, isn't it? It's enough to make you go home and say, oh, Jesus. Hello? Hello? Jesus. We can look up. You know, if those terrorists bomb the ship channel, set some dirty nuclear bombs over here, and I live not far from the ship channel, all I ask the Lord, I want to be in the ground zero, man. I mean, amen? Right in the center of the blast. Gone. Glory! Instant! I mean, what's the worst thing? Well, the worst thing is instant glory for eternity. That's the worst thing. Just throw me way out on the edge with that dripping radiation poison for 30 years. Whatever, my luck. Jesus will say, no, minister to the radiation people. That's those demons, huh? 30 years. All right, Lord, whatever. That was not in my notes. This is all about healing. It is, I promise you. All right. The last verse. You ready? Verse 8. It shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. Now, in the margin, the word health in verse 8 is medicine. Now listen. Now I may go into this more next week. The Hebrew word is marpe. It's a transliteration. It means curative medicine. This is the last verse we're going to look. This last verse. What is he referring to? But I submit verse 8 is referring to the preceding principles or the keys to physical health. It shall be medicine to your body, marrow to your bones. There's a lot in the scriptures and proverbs about how a dry bone, that jealousy rots the bones. You know, bitterness will dry your bones, arthritis, a lot of these cancers. But marrow, watering, moistening. And literally the word marpe, what's amazing, the word health, literally the word means medicine. Now here's the principle I want to leave us with tonight. I've been saying all the way through this is about healing. Because most chronic ailments, sicknesses, and diseases can be traced to a faulty foundation in the spirit. I have found when you give someone's life lined out in the principles of the word, of the truth, are in the spirit, then the demonic, the dysfunctional, the infirm begins to manifest and begins to leave. How many of y'all bear witness with that? How many of y'all experienced that? How many of y'all, when you've gotten your life lined out, somehow you begin to be healed? Can I hear that? You begin to be in a place where anointing from heaven will fall and you experience supernatural healing. When you learn, let's just go over it quick, to keep his law, verse 1, to love your neighbor, length of days, to learn to be appreciative, to live for the day, verse 3, to walk in the mercy of God, to receive his goodness and mercy, to let his mercy and goodness lead you to repentance. Verse 4, when you begin to take off the masks and let God begin to manifest himself through you. Verse 5, when you begin to trust in him and seriously distrust yourself. Verse 6, when you begin to acknowledge the Lord is sovereign and everything you're in is ordained by God, and you give thanks in all things. Verse 7, when you become aware of this very real reality of pride, that's the medicine. What that does is that will open your life to the release of the anointing to actually heal and deliver you from the demons, from the curses, from the sicknesses, the diseases, the generational bondages. That'll heal you. Cancers, heart problems. I want to live every day all the way to the end. My dad died in 97. My mom died a month ago or so. They both lived about the age 74, 75. That's amazing for people who drank liquor every night for 50 years and smoked every day for 50 years. And I thought, okay, I don't drink liquor and I don't smoke. Maybe I can go a little bit past that. Amen? Because they both died of complications thereof. But you know, they still lived a long life. Now, that's not true for some. But I'm determined, I want to live out to that very last day. How many of y'all are with me on that? Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Jesus. 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 Holy and anointed one, Jesus. Let's sing that again. Jesus. Jesus. Risen. Risen and exalted one, Jesus. Your name is like honey on my lips, your spirit like water to my soul. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. Jesus, I love you. I love you. Come on, worship him tonight. He wants to dwell inside of you with his Father. Jesus. Holy. Holy and anointed one, Jesus. Risen. Risen and exalted one, Jesus. I'd like you to call you right now to go to the Lord. If the Holy Spirit, whatever the Spirit quickened you as I shared tonight, I'm certain the Holy Spirit through the Word spoke to you, urging you, encouraging you to humble yourself to Him, to others, to lay down your rights, to lay down your idolatries, your fears, your shams, your fronts, to lay down your self-sufficiencies and your personal abilities and to humble yourself to Jesus. God wants to come in a fresh anointed way in your life. He wants to release healing in your bones. He wants to get your life on a firm foundation and heal the cracks and strengthen you and settle you. Humble yourself to Jesus right now. Go to the Lord. Respond to what the Spirit is speaking to you and convicting you of tonight. Humble yourself to Jesus. Acknowledge it. Say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Have your way in my life, Lord. Forgive me for my self-sufficient ways, my pride, my thinking I can do it alone, arrogant ways, thinking that there's something in me that can accomplish anything good. Forgive me, Lord. What folly that is. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Lord, help us to see the filthy rags for what they are. Open our eyes, the blind. Open our eyes, we're so blind. It's just all Jesus. Now I pray, Lord, in your mercy, as folks humble themselves, that you would loose in your mercy tonight a healing anointing. Just a merciful curative medicine from heaven. The Marpe medicine of healing. Right now, in Jesus' name. How many of y'all could experience some healing? Just raise your hand. Where you are. Any kind of healing touch. Lord, you see those hands? You can put them down. Right now, as these saints are humbling themselves to you, you said you give grace to the humble. You know the heart. You know the secrets of the heart. You know how, what's really touching spirit to spirit. So come, Lord, I pray, open the ointment bottle tonight. Lord, rub in the salve. Lord, pour down the oil tonight into the bodies. Right now, in Jesus' name, in the bones, the muscles, Lord, in the organs, the inner organs, Lord Jesus, the liver, the kidney, Lord, the heart, the lungs. Come, Lord, right now. Flow with oil and hand of the Lord in this room. Come, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. The intestines, Lord, come. Flow. Pour oil of healing. Right now, have the angels of God administer to them as they walk like nurses. Let the angels of God, like nurses, going, administer, touching, healing, restoring. We want to walk in healing, the mercy of healing. As we humble ourselves, you give grace. More, Lord. Right now, on the knees, I just sense in the Spirit, strengthen the feeble knees, Lord. Up and down the back right now. I kind of sense, see it in the Spirit, kind of a glow. Somebody's lower back is like a glow, a gold glow. Right now, whatever you're doing, Lord, heal. Let the oil go now. Now, in Jesus' name. Heal! In Jesus' name. Heal. Heal, heal. Restore. Whether it's damaged discs, Lord. Restore, refunction, refashion, refit completely the way it ought to be, so there's no more pain, there's mobility, there's the strength of youth where there's been crippling. Lord, come, heal in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. More, more, Lord. We need oil from heaven. We need unction from heaven. We need curative medicine. When the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. Come now! That, by the way, that's that same word, Marpe. Healing. Curative medicine in his wings. Come. Receive. Receive right now, just as if you're on an operating table. You just say yes. Receive. Let the Spirit of the Lord do what he would. More, Lord. Flow. Flow, wherever these saints are. Right along the back of the neck. right along the back of the neck. The tension, the pressures, the stress, the tension, the immobility. Loosen, Lord. Loosen, relax. Let the muscles relax in Jesus' name. Lord, that's your oil. Go. Moistening in the bones, Lord Jesus. Where there's chafing, where there's rubbing, Lord, where there's hardness. Calcium buildup, Lord, release in Jesus' name. Melt away. Now, in Jesus' name, round out. Melt away. Even now, as I speak, melt away here. Take the power that. Undo the work of that in Jesus' name. Lower brain, right? The lower, right there. Lower part, the back part of the head right now, whatever that is. It's the glow of the healing right now. It's a place, it's a source of migraines. Come, Lord, right now, healing, healing. Heal. God loves us, man. He delights in touching our bodies and blessing us and healing us and restoring us. Can everyone? He loves us, man. All we got to do is say, yes, Father. I'm not going to sit here and presumptuously demand anything. I'm just going to humbly, like a child, say, oh, Father, have mercy on me. I come to you with my needs. I pray, please touch my body, but touch my soul too. And Lord, do as you would. If you want to heal my emotion, if you want to open my, heal my character before you heal my body, if you're using this to break my pride, so be it, Lord. Not my will, thine be done. That's true healing. God wants to heal you from the inside out. You see, it's your soul that's eternal. Your body's just temporary. He wants to heal it, but he really wants to heal that soul, because that's going to be around for trillions of years. And our bodies, let's be honest with it, they're dying every day anyway. Amen? This body is decaying. You're not going to heal your old age. It's going to take you one day or get raptured. But, you know, he wants to make it easy in the path. He wants to make it easy because he loves us. But he has a boat. I'll tell you, he has a body one day. He has a glorified body. Praise God. No more dieting. Amen? Hallelujah. He has a body for you. The Bible says, there's a natural body. God has a body for you. He says in Psalm, Christ said, thou hast prepared a body for me. And Jesus came into his glorified body. He could zip around. He says, tell the guys will be in Galilee. He's there. Walk through walls. Huh? And it glowed, man. They didn't even know. The two guys from the road to Emmaus, they didn't even know him because of the glory. And that's what the Bible says. Our bodies will be the containers of glory. Amen? That's where we're going. To the degree you glorify him now in your spirit and emotions and soul, to that degree will he be glorified in your body then. I believe that's how it works. Hallelujah. Oh, shut up, my God.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge God. In all your ways, acknowledge God. And he shall direct you. Now I read your mind. Do not be wise in your mind. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Give and straight to your Lord.
Verse 5.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. And lean not on your own.
Hallelujah. Lord, I pray you take this word, may you seal it deep. Let this word sink deep in our souls and spirits and minds, O Lord, that we can go forth from this place wise as serpents and harmless as doves. I speak of protection as we go. Lord, protect us, protect our homes, our kids, our health. Lord, protect us, O Father. It's wicked out there, man. Demons are like flies flying around, Lord. We just have to walk back in that swarm. But thank you. We have around us a shield about us. Hallelujah. And a fire among us and over us. Lord, help it burn ever brightly. Those things will just fly away. And we'll be a light wherever we go.
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.